It's the catch-up with Lisa and Pete for Tuesday, November 21.
On the show today, we asked the weirdest gift you've received from someone trying to woo you. This after a story about WA male dolphins being Casanovas in our waters.
All right. There's a new project at UWA called Mummy Buddies, where expectant mums are paired up with experienced mothers, and Brian Law told us how it works. He's the researcher behind it, and he also told us how you can be a part of it.
And Justin Hamilton reviews the show The Punisher. Find out if it was a punish to watch or not.
Lisa and Pete disappear when the show finishes. Don't let the water in your pool disappear by evaporation over summer. Save water and money with an Elite Solar Pool Blanket. Call Elite. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Now, forget a bouquet of flowers.
Salt separately.
Or a box of chocolates. Seems sea sponges are all the rage, Lisa.
If a dolphin was the bachelor, then they are the roses of the ocean.
Could you imagine that?
Would you accept this sea sponge?
Can you imagine that rose ceremony, though?
I know.
Actually, I'm just thinking, like, out would come Dolphin Osher Gunsberg, and he'd be like, you did not receive a sponge.
You did not receive an anemone.
Please take some time to say goodbye.
Splash off.
A University of WA researchers have captured unusual evidence of adult male Australian humpback dolphins offering gifts to their female counterparts in an apparent effort to convince them to mate.
This is beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's beautiful in a weird sort of dolphin way, isn't it?
Well, they are. They say they're right up there on the intelligence scale, way higher than us. The study observed an interaction between a male and a female on her calf off the WA coast, where the potential dating technique was used. The male dolphin dived down to remove a large marine sponge, which, just quietly, is not easy to dislodge from the seafloor, balanced it on his little beaky bit and pushed it toward the female.
Oh,
he
wow.
gave it to her as a gift.
That is beautiful.
And then said, how about it? Except in that dolphin speak.
We want to know on 13:33:53, because obviously, you know, it's, you're not going to go about giving a sponge to your partner as human beings.
Probably not.
Or maybe you're going to give it a try. It wouldn't go well. I can tell you from personal experience.
Not even a sea sponge.
We want to know the weirdest gift you've received from someone trying to woo you.
Pulling out all the stops.
Exactly. We're after the weirdest gift that you've received from someone trying to woo you. It's off the back of the dolphins in our waters here, Lise, and the way they go about getting the girls down to the bottom of the ocean. Sponges, up they come, steady on the beak. It's nice, isn't it?
Like a rose ceremony on the Bachelorette.
Mm. Vicky in Spearwood, what's the weirdest gift you've received from someone trying to woo you?
I have to laugh. It was my first birthday with my now husband. He was my boyfriend at the time. Mm. I had lost my Wilcat, and I was so excited. I got this big box, and I opened it up, and it was he bought me a Wilcat.
Oh, and he'd put it in a box just to make it seem... Nice one. I don't know if that works in or against their favour when they do that.
I was like, because it was practical. Like, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. How often do you hear that from a bloke? It's practical.
Well, just pick it up on your way home then. Don't give it to me as a gift.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you.
All right, Janet in Oakford, the weirdest gift you've received from someone trying to woo you?
Yes, I had a packet of Pringles tied to the gate with a car on my property. And it wasn't even a large packet. No.
Was it at least sour cream and chives?
Oh, I can't remember. I was livid. I am a material girl. Please, a big packet.
Fair enough.
The sort of the note, the tie to the gate, that was cute, that bit. No.
No. Thanks, Janet. Mary and Dutch. We got another one here. Weirdest gift you received from someone trying to woo you.
Greetings, it's Mary. A broom.
A broom?
A broom.
Oh, he's risking it.
A broom.
Oh, a broom. Wow.
Okay.
It's my 21st, Patrick, it's my 21st birthday. I'm all dressed up in my tees, right? Mm. And he's trying to be romantic, right? Yep. And he says, shut your eyes, right? Shut my eyes, right? Okay, shut my eyes. There it was. A broom.
So what was the idea behind the broom? It wasn't like an inside joke or something like that? He wasn't just trying to be funny or smart or what?
No. It was because it was practical.
So he wasn't trying to sweep you off your feet?
Oh.
He was.
Oh, practical, schmactical. When will they learn?
Never. I'll tell you now.
And I'm still using it. I'm still using the broom.
Well, that's good because it was practical. But, you know. Are you wearing it?
No. But I can. Yeah.
He nearly did.
Everybody kept asking me, what did you get for your 21st?
Well, see, that's the problem, that bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to make something
broom.
Up.
A broom.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
We're still together. By the way.
See, there is something in that, at least.
Lovely.
See you, Mary.
See you, Mary.
Bye.
Husband sounds like one of the dolphins. They like cleaning products by the sounds of things.
They do.
Now, the Mummy Buddy Project sees experienced mums buddy up with those who are on their way to or have just given birth and are finding the process a little tough. Brian Law is the UWA researcher behind this and joins us now. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. First of all, how did you get hooked into this project?
That's a really good question, and I think it's a question that I've been asked quite a few times.
Sorry.
It's okay. So what actually happened was we were looking at a population that really needed help, and we actually realized that, especially for first-time moms, there was a little bit of gap in terms of support that's available to them. And so we decided to, we actually did interviews with a couple of moms in our previous study. And one of the things that I highlighted was if we had a mummy buddy that could be paired up with them through the whole process, it would be like so much better because then they would have someone that they could talk to about what's happening to see if what they're going through is actually normal or if they're doing the right thing. So we used that concept and actually then developed this program.
It's a wonderful idea, Brian. I mean, there are lots of mummy bloggers and that kind of things going on these days, but nothing takes the place of someone right there up front and personal with you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, Brian, throughout this project, what were some of the issues that you were seeing plaguing some of the mums who could use a buddy?
Right. I think one of the biggest things specifically for first-time mums is really that unknown, not knowing what to expect, not sure what the next surprise is. Also, not knowing whether what they're going through is actually normal. I think that's a really big thing for a lot of first-time mums.
The biggest, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think one other thing that most parents would tell you is the sleep deprivation that comes with having a baby. Yeah, those are really the biggest challenges that a lot of new mums face.
This period of time that you're looking at, this covers pregnancy and those very early days, doesn't it?
Well, the plan is to get join us in third trimester of their pregnancy.
Yeah.
So they are a little bit further along in their pregnancy, but then from there, then they get the support all the way to about 6 months postpartum.
Terrific.
Wow, that is fantastic.
So you're looking for volunteers?
Yes, we are looking for volunteers. So we have two groups of people that we're looking for. So one group is, of course, the mummy buddies. So mums who have already had kids in the last 5 years. And we're also looking for new mums. So first-time expectant mums who are currently pregnant and will be due anytime till June next year. And it is a program that's currently being supported by Healthway, and it's free. So if anyone's interested, they are more than happy to join the program. And for more details on how to contact me, they can actually jump on Facebook, and they can just type Mummy Buddy UWA, and you'll get to the page, and there's all my contact details there as well.
Wonderful. I'll ask my wife, mate, because we have an 18-month-old. And just on that, is there any potential in the future for daddy buddies?
Very, very good question. And it's not the first I've heard of this question as well. We are actually looking at possibly in the future extending that to making a daddy buddy program, because nowadays we do realize that dads need as much help as mums.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very unique experience for dads as well. That's really completely different from what mums experience. So I guess having an actual buddy to kind of share what's happening would be really useful for dads as well. So for sure, when that happens, I'm going to call you. You can probably join in the program.
Be happy to help, mate.
Awesome.
Brian, best of luck with this. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, happy mummy, happy bubby, really.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. Good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talk and Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talk and Telly.
My favourite segment of the week. telly.
It is. I'm not sure if this is your favourite subject on that telly, though. So we're talking Netflix, we're talking Marvel. Mm. I'm a little bit fascinated that Marvel movies are so successful, but Marvel on TV feels like a slightly different beast, you know?
Do you maybe have to see it on a big screen?
You would think that, but they put the pilot of The Inhumans on at IMAX. That was considered a terrible faux pas because it looked really cheap on the TV screen. So at IMAX, it was like,
cheaper.
You have paid no money.
It's just so weird because in a complete turnaround, you look at DC and their movies are terrible, but their TV is fantastic.
Right. It makes absolutely no sense with what's going on. And, you know, The Inhumans, as I said, was terrible. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of all over the place. You know, one minute it fits in with the movie universe, next minute it's not. And it's a real shame because I thought the first season of Daredevil and Jessica Jones were very strong. And I thought Luke Cage had some really good elements, but kind of stumbled a little bit in the execution. And then Iron Fist, your favourite, Lise, that was probably the less said about that, the better. So it
was. Just give it a moment. Let's.
All right, I'm
going to
stay there.
Take a breath. Now we have the latest iteration of the Punisher, a character who started out as a Superman villain before progressing to being an anti-hero. And you know he's an anti-hero because he kills people, but he only kills the bad ones. But I have to say, watching this show, this is only a few weeks after what happened in Las Vegas. And the character of the Punisher, you know, he dresses like the alleged gunman in Las Vegas. He wears black tactical gear. He has a mask with a skull on him that resembles the Marvel character's emblem. You know, he's an unstable man with a lot of guns. And I found the timing of it to be really on the nose. I know that's not anybody's fault, but just in the present climate, it's like, a series about a hero who goes around killing people with guns it's a little bit confronting, to be honest. Now, I'm not saying that you can't explore this type of person. You know, I think a lot of great entertainment and literature does explore the unsavory aspects. Yeah. Yeah, but the timing is bad. And this series suffers from everything the previous Netflix Marvel series suffer from. There's not enough story to justify the number of episodes. It feels like this could have been four episodes and that would have been stacks. And it starts off fairly promising with the Punisher, who's played by John Bernthal, who reprises the character that he first played in the second season of Daredevil. He's a cracking actor, and at the start, you know, he's doing one last job to take out the rest of the mobsters who were responsible for killing his family. And that's great, let's do this, and then delve into the guy who's quite clearly suffering from PTSD. Yet from here, the story just slows down to such an extent. You can practically see the writers leaning out the side window, looking at other shows going, go on, go forward. We're taking our time here. So, and everything here is so by the numbers that by the time I reached the end of the final episode, I felt like I'd been abducted by aliens and experienced missing time. It was like, hang on, I've just gone through seven episodes. And all the cliches are there. You know, it's the sidekick who helps him with his job, the law enforcement agent who at some point comes to terms with the fact the Punisher does what the law won't allow. And there's kind of an attempt at delving into the psyche of someone who's a war veteran who's having trouble integrating back into civilian life. But to be honest, the writing's just really facile, and I think it does a real disservice to Bernthal, who brings so much more to the table than it deserves, because it's just a lot of good TV elsewhere, and I just would rather watch that. So, unfortunately, I'm giving The Punisher Netflix no thumbs dealing with the crime or punishment.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Lisa and Pete are great at hide and seek, but the Elite Hideaway pool cover system is an award winner. Save water and money with the Elite Hideaway. Call Elite.